Good morning, good morning, good morning, beautiful people. Nashville, Middle Tennessee, Mount Juliet, if you're out here like us, at the 5th annual Tunnel 2 Towers Golf Tournament. What's going on? We appreciate you guys spending your time from 10 to 1 here with us, and we are going to have a great time, courtesy of our friends at Buddy Allen Carpet One. And of course, if we're out on the road, we are always out on the road, courtesy of Two Rivers Ford, powered by Ford, driven by people. A lot of fun out here at this golf tournament out at Pine Creek Golf Course. It's a beautiful day. Lucas is jealous. He's sitting back in the control studio. He's got nobody to hang out with. We're hanging out on Zoom. Buddy, it's like you're here with me, but you know, I get a little better. I get better scenery. I get snacks. I get coffee. I get to hang out at a golf course all day. I'm sorry for you. I really am.
It's not all bad. Bojangles showed up with the delivery for Ramon Foster. I've been feasting on Bowberry biscuits and pimento cheese chicken biscuits with the boys from the morning show. So you may be the one missing out to a degree today.
Will Bowling just made a face that is concerning. He's excited about the idea of what you had for breakfast. But in the meantime, we're going to serve you up something NFL related today over the course of this morning. I've got an NFL free agency big board of the best players available that the Titans still can get their hands on in free agency, and we'll get to that coming up next. But we start in the obvious place. Caleb Farley, rookie minicamp. It begins officially today for the Tennessee Titans out at St. Thomas Sports Park. Caleb Farley, bunch of the rookies, all the draft picks are in the building. They were getting fitted for helmets, shoulder pads, all these things yesterday. And he takes a picture, the Titans' first round pick, takes a picture, throws it up on his Instagram story, and it's getting some traction from players on the Titans, from people in sports. I know our own Ron Slay did interact with it as well, but he's basically, Caleb Farley, saying that anybody whose routes are like that, or they think are like that, then come get some of this.
Free
Caleb
smoke.
Farley.
He's giving out smoke.
He has given out free smoke to any wide receiver in the NFL that would so choose to test young Caleb Farley. This is the kind of energy, though, I think you want. Because, like, I saw A.J. Brown, and I'll pull up his tweet here in just a second, talking about, you know, let your play do the talking for you, basically. When, you know, I looked at Caleb Farley yesterday in that picture, and the Titans screenshotted his Instagram story, by the way. Like, his own team is the one putting him on blast. Now, I understand why they did it, because it's good social content. People want to see what the rookies are doing. They want to interact with the rookies. He and five other rookies signed their rookie contracts yesterday, but free smoke at whoever think they routes like that. Courtesy of Caleb Farley, at @CR_Farley. On Instagram. So A.J. Brown quote tweets that said, you know, let your game do the talking. He's just trying to give out some worldly advice now that he's in year three. A.J. Brown officially a veteran. So he is in a position where he can be doling out advice. And obviously, if you play the way that A.J. Brown does, you say whatever you want, basically. Darren Bates, also somebody who is, and listen, Darren Bates has contributed enough to the content of this radio show. I don't know how many people heard that on Wednesday.
Bates tweeted, week one versus D-Hop. Cut it out, newbie.
Oh, spice. Little bit of clap back from the veterans. So I think though, this is what you want. Like, I don't know why people would get all bent out of shape about this. It makes zero sense to me. By the way, if you want to interact with the radio show, 615-737-1045, 615-737-1045. Is the number that you dial. We're broadcasting live out here from Pine Creek Golf Course, and you can see that because Will Bowling is here as well and has ensured that the camera is operating at a high level so you guys can hang out. Everybody but Lucas basically can hang out at Pine Creek Golf Course with me today. It's unfortunate for you. I'm sorry, bud. But the energy from Caleb Farley, like, I understand he's a rookie. He's not played an NFL game yet. He's not been in an NFL practice. His first ones will take place today, tomorrow, and Sunday. But don't you want him to have this kind of confidence? Doesn't this kind of remind you of A.J. Brown in the Dolce & Gabbana shades for the last rookie, what do they call that, the rookie get-together where they all take pictures in their jerseys?
Like, it's better than the alternative, right?
Well, what's the alternative? Oh, just leaking confidence and, like, tail between their legs rookie? Yeah, you don't want that. So, Bates and A.J. and everybody else who is commenting basically pipe down. For what? Let him run his mouth a little bit. Like, he went on Chris Collinsworth's podcast, I think the week after he was drafted, and he was basically giving the same kind of voice to this. He's not scared of what's going to happen in the NFL. He is mentally preparing himself for the competition. This was Caleb Farley about a week ago with Chris Collinsworth. I think Lucas is pulling up the audio right now, so we'll hear from Caleb Farley here in just a second once they get that situated. But basically saying, yeah, I'm not scared of Tyreek Hill. What's there to be scared of? What is there to fear other than, you know, just public embarrassment on national television? This is somebody who is coming in with supreme confidence, who is going to play with supreme confidence. And the mental part of the game is half the battle. I mean, yes, you have to be physically talented. You have to be physically gifted. You have to be a supernatural athlete to be able to perform in the NFL, to be able to perform at a high level. But the idea that he would need some kind of humbling, some kind of patience before he gets in there, no, I want him to walk in there full speed. So that's why I love this audio of him talking about what it would be like to face Tyreek Hill, because, of course, he'll see him at Nissan Stadium at some point this regular season.
But I also think a lot of DBs, you know, are scared of him. You know, ain't nobody's going to line up in press coverage and still be in their fundamentals and technique and balance on the balls of their feet. No, as soon as they snap the ball, they're going to get on their heels. They're scared of him. And it's a lot of guys that's scared of it too. You know, I wouldn't be scared of it in press coverage. I would play.
Caleb Farley talking with Chris Collinsworth. What's the name of the podcast, Lucas? Do you have that available to you? I want to give proper credit.
Yes, Chris Collinsworth with Richard Sherman.
Oh, so that's quite the podcast.
It's the Chris Collinsworth podcast with Richard Sherman.
Thank God. that's a pretty solid lineup there. But what do you expect him to say? I don't want him to say, yeah, I'm going to be scared of the wide receivers that I face in the NFL. I'm going to be worried about the idea that I'll face Tyreek Hill when the Kansas City Chiefs come to town in week 7. I'm going to be worried about playing Stephon Diggs with the Bills. Why would you want him to have that kind of mindset? Let this man live. Isn't that what Will Bowling says to me all the time? Just let me live. Let me be great. Let Caleb Farley be great. Let him have an attitude. Let him have some of this moxie. Don't diminish it. Don't try and tamp it down. Yeah, of course he's going to let his play talk for itself once he's able to get on the field, but he's excited that he's a Titan. He's posting stuff on his social media like we all do. Who cares? Let him do it. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. 615-737-1045. Ron Slay loves it. He's saying free smoke in the comment section under the Titan. I'm looking at the comments in Titans under the Titans Twitter account right now.
Free smoke. Come get your smoke here.
Free smoke at whoever think they routes like that, courtesy of Caleb Farley. So we'll talk more about rookie minicamp over the course of this morning. But coming up next, I saw this article on The Athletic, and I thought it was interesting for the purposes of the Titans, because now they've moved past the NFL draft. We're now getting ready to be in like this third weird wave where there's a lot of middling free agent signings, but they can be contributors to the success of the football team over the course of the year. So The Athletic has this best available NFL free agents still left out on the market. It's got a handful of names that you know, a handful of names that you recognize, but maybe not necessarily at the positions that the Titans need the greatest help right now. So I want to know from you guys, 615-737-1045, what you think that the Titans absolutely have to do personnel-wise now that the draft is done, whether it be through free agency, whether it be through trade, because, of course, we heard from John Robinson after the Saturday, the last round of the NFL draft. That Saturday night, we had a Zoom with Vrabel and John, and he's saying, yeah, GMs are calling us. We're calling GMs. We're exploring the possibilities out on the free agent market. We're taking a look at the undrafteds. And they came to terms with 10 undrafted rookie free agents yesterday. By the way, two of them tight ends. So this article that The Athletic has up, I want to go through some of the names that are out there, because I think there is going to be a lot of attraction, and really it's pending on what happens with Rashad Weaver, to be honest with you, about the guys that are out there who can immediately help your football team in some capacity, whether it's as a role player, whether it's as somebody who can play, you know, 35, 40 snaps for you in a game. And it's all operating under the construct of what Shane Bowen's going to want to do. How much are they going to allow somebody who's not a starter to get in on the action, right? That was Kamale Correa's biggest complaint here in Tennessee. That's why he basically demanded a trade and went to the Jacksonville Jags and, you know, won one game in 2020. Not an ideal situation. So Rashad Weaver, by the way, is at Titans rookie minicamp. He is officially number 99. He takes over the Clowney jersey number. I would assume that we will not hear from him because I know some rookies are going to be made available to us tomorrow, and I doubt Rashad Weaver is one of them. But, you know, you can hope, I guess. I'd like to find out some more answers. I'd like to hear his perspective on these things. Kirby Allen Kirby is flexing hard out here at Pine Creek Golf Course. I know you're under a lot of strain right now, but I think that you should devise a way to have a roaming camera just follow Kirby around. He's the biggest celebrity out here, by the way. Our friend Tammy Jacobs from Two Rivers Ford out there snapping pictures with Kirby Allen Kirby. I have been working here for 2 months. I still don't have a picture with Kirby. What the hell? No. You pencil me in. Get out of here. We need a camera. We need a camera following Kirby Allen Kirby around Pine Creek Golf Course where we are broadcasting live today, courtesy of Buddy Allen Carpet One, Floor and Home, the fifth annual Tunnel Two Towers Golf Tournament. Buddy Allen Carpet One, it's locally owned and operated by the Allen family, Zach, Jenna, and Judson. They're proud sponsors of the Stephen Siller Tunnel Two Towers Smart Home Program, and over the last 5 years, they have raised nearly $100,000 for this amazing foundation. We're going to tell you more about what the foundation is, what the foundation does, and why it's such a good cause with local ties. But in the meantime, we're going to talk more about free agency. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. All right. Back here on 104.5 The Zone, the praise is pouring in via Twitter. At Buck Rising is where you can interact with us. RJ in Phoenix says, what the hell is going on? Don't worry, RJ, I got you. There are some things beyond my control, but we're going to continue to keep the conversation going live from Pine Creek Golf Course, courtesy of our friends at Two Rivers Ford, powered by Ford, driven by people. So we're spending some time on the NFL free agency big board, the updated one. Where can the Titans get involved? Where can they add? What can they afford to add, really, is the better question. And some of those answers we won't have until there's some kind of financial adjustment on the part of the Titans. We spent some time talking with Mike Vrabel and John Robinson a couple of weeks ago in their post-draft Zoom, basically exploring the break glass in case of emergency options, whether they can restructure Ryan Tannehill, whether they can afford to have Taylor Lewan take a salary cap pay cut, for lack of a better term, Roger Saffold the same, shuffle money around to make sure that they can continue to build this roster in the post-draft process. So what The Athletic has done is they've compiled the best free agents still available. Now, there's a lot of names that you're going to recognize, but I looked through it last night. There's probably about 50 names left on the board, maybe a little less than 50. And the more that I look at it, the more that I realize if you're looking to add like true contributors, legitimate talent that can help improve your football team at places where it needs improvement, mind you, pending the situation with Rashad Weaver, I don't necessarily think there's a bunch out there for you. I mean, I know everybody's obsessed with Julio Jones. We talked to Diana Russini yesterday. She has zero inclination that the Titans are legitimately having conversations about Julio Jones. We spent some time on that yesterday. So if you're not adding wide receiver talent, if you're not adding tight ends, if you're not adding pass catchers to help improve the depth and largely the competency of this group, well, what can you go out there? What would you even reasonably explore on the free agency market? So then I'm looking at Justin Houston, who is 32 years old. He's fresh off a deal with the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, the wrong side of 30, I don't know what that means anymore because that's a cliche that you hear a lot of times. And if you want to jump in on the conversation, feel free, 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045 is the number. But the idea of Justin Houston with this Titans front seven, for lack of a better term, I think it all depends on Rashad Weaver. Is he going to be available to you? Is he going to make it through the legal process in a way that he can contribute substantive snaps? Because if not, I mean, what are you going to do with Justin Houston? You're already looking for places to find these guys snaps. alongside Bud Dupree and Harold Landry. Now, I don't think there's any situation where Justin Houston, like the season begins, and this is somebody who's still out there and available to you. Melvin Ingram, the same, by the way. Richard Sherman, Mitchell Schwartz, the offensive tackle from the Kansas City Chiefs. Most of you know him as Jeff's brother. At least that's the way that I think a lot of people like to refer to him as. Quan Alexander, who John Robinson has a history with. KJ Wright, a lot of defensive players, to be honest with you. The offensive skill position market really got zapped, even though there wasn't a bunch of money for these guys to go out there and get paid. So the question becomes, and Will Bowling has tweeted this out from the Zone Twitter account, where you can watch 104.5 The Zone TV on Facebook Live, Periscope, Twitch, and YouTube. Do you like the idea of Justin Houston on the Titans? Is that something that even remotely piques your interest at this point? Because I look at his career, and there are times, and I'm from Indiana, so a lot of the people in my life are Colts fans. So I hear a lot about Justin Houston in particular, because there were moments where he would not record a statistic. Like, he would pull a full Vic Beasley on you, and you would have to wonder whether Justin Houston was even actually out on the field. But he ended up with 8 sacks, which is more, you know, if the Titans had 8 sacks to spare, they would. They don't. So you can't largely dismiss that. 8 sacks, 12 quarterback hits, and he was 8th among edge defenders in pass rush win rate, which is essentially how many snaps that any given edge defender, guys like Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry, how many given snaps these guys win on out of all the snaps that they end up pass rushing. It's an ESPN analytics statistic that's helped us kind of quantify the effectiveness of pass rushers. So the more that I look at this, the more that I'm saying, I don't know that necessarily anything out there on the free agent market helps you, or helps you in a way that I think is going to put you over the edge. Right now, the edge for you, the fine line that you're walking, is that of tight end and wide receiver. And we talked to John Robinson about this a couple of weeks ago. And John felt like there was still enough competition or availability of players out there, either through trade, the undrafted rookie free agent market, or just the market in general, to go out and find a tight end. Here was John Robinson.
Yeah, Joe, we were close a couple times. You know, we had some discussions yesterday, some today. And we like the group that we've got. And, you know, we'll continue to evaluate, you know, players that, you know, available here after the draft, you know, as we start that process. You know, and I've gotten several calls from, you know, general managers on other teams that have players on their roster. So, you know, the roster building process is never over. But, you know, we're excited with the group that we got back, you know, with Ferk and with Swaim and Hudson and Adden Pinkney, who was, you know, a good player coming out of Vanderbilt, and Parker Hesse. We'll see how those guys come in and compete, and continue to evaluate the players that are available as we continue to move through the offseason here.
615-737-1045 is how you jump in. 615-737-1045. Do we believe John Robinson that he was excited about Parker Hesse? I don't know that I do.
No.
Which is okay. John, if you're going to lie to me at any point, you can lie to me there. I think that the Parker Hesse situation, and he ended up waived off the roster, so at this point, he's not out there. Lucas, you look like you were about to say something, but I don't know if you knew if your microphone, Liam Neeson, is John Robinson excited about the idea of Parker Hesse, who's no longer on his roster?
No.
Thank you, Liam Neeson. Thank you for all of your contributions. Brevity is the soul of wit. That is why Liam Neeson is around here. Jose writes in on Twitter, why not? Great veteran to have around. I mean, the why not is the money. Like, is the cost of Justin Houston, as things begin to fill up here at Pine Creek Golf Course, where we're broadcasting live from, it'll be me and 3HL today. So if you've never come out to Pine Creek, this is my second time. I was filling in for Mickey Ryan. It's a beautiful, beautiful space out here. I would invite you to come and play 18. But what I would say to you about the why not is Justin Houston's salary cap hit, or the financials on Justin Houston, going to require you to move money around in a way that's unnecessary. You have to keep options like the restructure at your disposal for something like not Justin Houston. They restructured Kevin Byard last year to where he now, in 2021 has a $15 million cap hit, $15 million plus. They restructured that contract so that they, because they needed last-minute finances to make the Jadeveon Clowney situation work. Nobody is looking for somebody like Kevin Byard to be, count against your cap for $15 million. Now, he's not making 15. That's just the cap hit. That's the restructure element of it. But if you're going to do anything with the quarterback, if you're going to do anything with the offensive line, Taylor Lewan, Roger Saffold, even though he is volunteering publicly on the internet to do a restructure to help the Titans build a more complete team. If you can construct the roster without having to deal with that additional financial strain in years to come, that would be their preference. Now, again, that I don't think would be their go-to. I think that the go-to is ultimately still extensions. I think that Ben Jones, even as he's in his 30s at this point, has earned an extension. I think he's been the most consistent, most underrated player. I don't know about underappreciated. I think they think highly of Ben Jones in that facility enough that this is not news to them. But I'm just talking public writ large. Ben Jones, with a $7 million cap hit this year, you could extend that and or extend his contract and alleviate that financial burden. And it's not a ton of money that you would be freeing up. Like, these are not Julio Jones type moves. That's why I'm largely ruling something like that out. That's why Diana has largely ruled something like that out. But I think ultimately, when you're looking at this, you have to say, who on this list is worth it? Justin Houston, Trey Turner, the offensive guard, formerly of the Chargers, he's only 28. Melvin Ingram, Quan Alexander, we mentioned, Steven Nelson of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think they need any more help at corner. They've basically gone out and gotten an entirely new secondary. Golden Tate is really the only passable pass-catching option that I can find on this list. In fact, he might be the only offensive skill player on this list. Golden Tate at age 33. And it's not like it wouldn't be a good story, right? He's obviously semi-local. He played in 12 games last year, 44% of the snaps, but he didn't do much. 35 catches, 388 yards in 2020. And I'm not entirely blaming Golden Tate for the Giants offense looking the way that it did. But I'm not looking at him and saying, yes, this is the thing that they're missing. This is the thing that they most need. Now, what I will say to you is Teron Davenport asked Mike Vrabel about the slot receivers currently on their roster. Because I think if you're looking through their roster, like what's still left for them to do outside of tight end? Because the tight end is still the biggest and most obvious question, the biggest and most obvious hole that you have remaining. But who is going to be the primary slot receiver for the Titans? Now, Teron asked Mike this, and you can hear your response for yourself if you'd like, because Mike thinks they got slot receivers.
We feel like we have slots there, Teron. I'm not sure if our evaluations of our receiving group are the same, but you know, we got guys that have played in the slot for us, and we'll keep working guys around and give them opportunities.
So they had multiple opportunities to get a true slot receiver. Now, Vrabel is saying that his and his staff's evaluation of the wide receiver core may be different than our buddy Teron. But they did have multiple opportunities to add a true slot receiver, somebody who could work the underneath routes efficiently, a third down specialist. Now, if Vrabel is referencing their starting tight end, Anthony Firkser, then you feel a lot better. But then what do you do at tight end? It's not like you can completely relegate Firkser to the slot to make up for your deficiencies at wide receiver, because of course you're subtracting from what he might be able to do. And he's not an inline tight end. He's not a fully formed player. He's not the solution at this point. And I like Firkser. I think Firkser is incredibly reliable. I think that when he's used properly, Firkser is a great asset to this roster. I'm just saying he can't be the only piece. So if you're talking about third down specialists underneath routes, I don't necessarily know that that's Golden Tate at this point in his career. This dude is somebody who has always been an alpha, considered an alpha, without question. So you're going to bring him into a wide receiver room that is A.J. Brown, who is an alpha, Josh Reynolds, who thinks he wants to be an alpha, I think, based on the way that he was talking about himself. I mean, there was nobody else who we spoke to over the course of this free agency signing period that gave off the kind of confidence that Josh Reynolds is. And I like Josh Reynolds. I think he's a nice player. I think it's about opportunity. I think that's why he's here. Not just because the market was what it was for free agents, for free agent wide receivers specifically, but certainly the idea of finding a proven slot receiver on the roster. Now, if you would cite Cam Batson, I would say probably that's not ideal. Every time I saw Cam Batson, he looked like he was about to spontaneously combust from the way that he got hit. Him and Khalif Raymond both. And that was, you know, special teams, blocking issues, whatever you want to say. I just don't think that Cam Batson had something to him. There's a reason that he's lasted as long as he has as an undrafted rookie free agent coming into the league a couple years ago. But I don't think that's sustainable. And maybe at some point, because this is the place where we keep coming back to, I think. Because what Diana Russini said yesterday in our interview with her is she doesn't understand why people are looking at this offense and saying it is guaranteed to take a step back. Because the biggest reason, it's not Corey Davis, the reason that people are citing. It's not Jonnu Smith, the reason that people are citing. It's Arthur Smith. People are terrified about what this offense is going to look like without Arthur Smith calling the plays. It's not about the players itself. It's about the guy who puts them in the position to succeed. I mean, everything that we know about this offense is probably going to change to a degree. The coordinator, I don't know how schematically different it'll look, but at some point it has to adjust for the personnel. At some point it has to adjust for the roster moves that they have been able and have not been able to make on both sides. But the idea that they don't have a proven third down specialist, somebody who is specifically designated to handle the underneath routes, to free that up, to go over the middle, and also a starting tight end, I find problematic. We're out here live, by the way, if you're just now joining us. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock from Pine Creek Golf Course. It's the 5th annual Tunnel Two Towers Golf Tournament. Tunnel Two Towers Foundation, it builds mortgage-free smart homes for our most catastrophically injured veterans. The program helps our heroes' houses feel more like homes and dramatically improves the quality of their day-to-day lives. It's a really cool thing the Tunnel to Towers does. Each home is designed to address the unique needs of the individual with features such as automated doors and lighting controlled by tablets, wider halls and doorways, special showers to accommodate wheelchairs. Tunnel Two Towers, that's what we're out here raising money for. They've raised over $100,000 in the last 5 years. It's incredible what they've been able to do, and we're proud to be a part of it here at 104.5 The Zone and to help them continue to raise money. Now, Lucas, I don't necessarily want to take like a hard right or left turn, I guess, whichever direction you want to call it. But should we get into this Deshaun Watson thing today?
Yeah, let's hook a Ricky right here.
Let's hook a Ricky? All right, I can do that. So, largely, with the situation, and we'll get back to Titans talk. Jimmy Wyatt's going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Coach Mack is obviously going to be here later on in the show, as is our Friday custom. Much more Titans rookie minicamp-focused content ahead. But I do want to get into two things here, NFL-wide. Because speaking of roster constructions, there are two NFL teams, one in the AFC, hell, one in the AFC South, and one in the NFC, who are incredibly perilous or in incredibly perilous positions at quarterback. But let's start with Deshaun Watson, because there's been an update in this. And we've largely steered clear of talking about Watson, of talking about the legal side of this thing, of talking about anything that we are uneducated in, which would, I think, largely be the law. Lucas, maybe this isn't a question that I should ask you on air, because, you know, my only experience with the legal system would come on the offending side of the legal system. And I don't want to put you on blast, seeing as you're just now a full-time employee, and say, have you ever been arrested before? Is that something you want to do today, or is that something you want to avoid?
No, I'm on a good streak in my 25 years, knock on wood, I've never been arrested.
Okay. I wonder if Kirby's ever been arrested. Kirby, you ever been arrested? He's looking up for something. Okay, maybe we won't put anybody on blast on something that is recorded. He played the fifth.
I've heard many stories about Kirby almost being arrested, but I don't know if he has been booked.
Kirby, I'm certain, has been almost arrested several times in his life. But anyway, let's get back to Deshaun Watson. So you know the storyline at this point. Tony Busby is the attorney for the 22 women who are suing Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. Now, Tony Busby has been waging this war in the court of public opinion. He has been out there on Instagram with statements from from his own personal Instagram, which is a heady play if you're trying to grow your individual following. Good job out of you, Tony. But basically, he's handling all of this on social media when they're not designated press conferences. So this thing, we've kind of gotten away from keeping tabs of Watson and the Texans because we only have allegations at this point. These are lawsuits alleging sexual assault and inappropriate conduct, stuff that would be incredibly damning if it turns out to be true. I'm looking at the situation for Deshaun Watson, and Tony Busby apparently is tired of seeing Deshaun Watson's lawyer, Rusty Harden, handle things in the court of public opinion as well. He doesn't like that somebody else is trying to muscle in on his turf, basically. So he's talking to Fox 26 in Houston, and he says, and this is Tony Busby, he says some of the women did not feel like they were being respected during their first three meetings with NFL investigators. So they're going through their meeting with NFL investigators because obviously the NFL is going to get involved with this. This is one of their star players. This is one of their star assets. They want to keep this thing as clean as humanly possible, and they want more than anything to keep the brand of the league untarnished. So Busby's talking to a local Fox affiliate in Houston, and he says some of the women did not feel like they were being respected during their first three meetings with the NFL investigators, which Busby told Fox led him to attend a fourth meeting between the league's investigative group and his clients. He told the television station, and this is a report written up by Michael Rothstein at ESPN, Busby told the television station that four of his clients met with the league's lead investigator, Lisa Friel, and that he has probably four more women who want to meet with the NFL, but is not sure whether he's going to let them speak with the league investigators. So he's basically alleging that they're concerned that the league immediately began investigating the matter under the NFL's personal conduct policy. The investigation includes gathering information, monitoring law enforcement. This is courtesy of Brian McCarthy, who's the NFL spokesperson. Gathering information, monitoring law enforcement developments, and conducting interviews with relevant people willing to participate with counsel present. I think Busby thinks that the NFL's trying to muck this thing up a little bit. It sounds like he's worried that the NFL investigations with his clients, with some of the 22 women that he's representing, it sounds like he's worried about a degree of tampering, almost. And this is where it gets complicated for the NFL in this situation. Because again, I am not claiming to know anything about the legal process. I am not claiming to have any kind of great insight on Deshaun Watson's side of things or the 22 women. But what I do understand is that every time the NFL tries to stick its face into one of these things, it goes nuclear. The criminal justice system in this country is not very well equipped to handle lawsuits alleging sexual assault and inappropriate conduct. They've been trying to do it since the legal system was invented, and it doesn't do it all that efficiently. So the NFL is going to make an improvement upon that. That sounds insane to me. So Busby's working through this. He's firing off statements on his Instagram. He's feuding with Rusty Harden, who, by the way, Lucas, if I'm going to, should I recklessly speculate, since we're in such dangerous subject matter already, should I throw something out there that I think would be explosive, that I think would be incredibly potent to the audience if I was just to lob this accusation out into the microphone? Do you think I should do it?
Well, just based on the way you set that up, no, but I'm curious now.
I think Rusty Harden wears a hairpiece. I think this man is a very, very successful attorney. I think that the more that I see him on SportsCenter outside of courtrooms, I think it's fake. I think if you make as much, again, reckless speculation at this point, but I think that Rusty Harden's wearing a hairpiece. If I was Deshaun Watson, I don't know that I could be represented by somebody who had fake hair. Yeah, what are you hiding?
Say, what does that say about Deshaun Watson?
Listen, I'm not going to get into what anything says about Deshaun Watson at this point. Yeah. I'm steering so far clear of that man. I want nothing to do with it. But if I'm hiring a defense attorney and the man comes in here with fake hair, like, why are you lying to me about your hairline? What are you hiding already? I'm not going to trust you as a jury. I'm going to look at that roadkill on the top of your head, and I'm going to think, I don't trust this guy.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it. That's definitely a toupee.
It's 100. Well, it's not definitely. We should give ourselves. It's allegedly a toupee. Allegedly a toupee. But I don't know that I could trust a defense attorney like that coming in hot. But But it's interesting to see the way that it's playing out, not just through the legal process, not just through press conferences, but like attorneys going to Instagram with statements on Deshaun Watson. I feel like that's such a murky way to try and get something through. Now, it's great if you're throwing up smoke screens. It's great if you're throwing up legal Hail Marys like Rusty Harden and his team did, where they're trotting out a handful of massage therapists that Deshaun Watson didn't have unpleasant interactions with, which, of course, brings up the question, why do you need almost 40 massage therapists in a calendar year due to COVID? Like, what's going on there? In fact, I think that was the most incriminating thing. I really like watching this stuff. I wish it was televised. I really enjoy watching this stuff play out. It's like real life Law and Order, except, you know, we have to be able to talk about it intelligently. In Law and Order, I can just think I know something about the legal system instead of having to accurately describe what exactly is happening in the legal system. But we'll keep tabs on that. We'll keep you updated with the latest information on Deshaun Watson. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk about Titans rookie minicamp. We're going to talk about the three storylines that you should be watching, and we'll talk with Jim Wyatt of TennesseeTitans.com as well. All that and more live from Pine Creek Golf Course, courtesy of our friends at Buddy Allen Carpet One and Two Rivers Ford. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone.